Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to introduce our amazing guest for the day, Ken Van Loo. Ken, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Suja. This is amazing. I'm really, really excited just to talking to someone so brilliant as yourself and listen to all the things, great things you're doing. And it's just amazing. It's all about now paying it forward. I just love it.
Totally. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's an amazing world that we're in, and it's so great to be able to share that knowledge and experience with other people. So really excited to get into that with our viewers today. So everyone, Ken started his professional career with a civil design engineering job, twins, and two master's degrees, underpinned with a six-figure debt and a burning desire to serve others. 16 years later, he cut the ribbon on the development of a $17 million, 72,000 square foot, 113-bed assisted living facility. And, you know, I know there's a lot more to the story than that, but we'll just leave it there for now. So I love that you're into development, Ken, and just really want to hear a bit about your background and how you got into real estate investing and why as well.
Yeah. You know, I had a very, very unusual approach. I call it top-down thinking, you know, because, you know, I was taught from my parents, my dad, you know, was blue collar, climbed telephone poles for, you know, an electrical company doing, you know, transformer replacements, you know, crew chief. And my mom was a bank teller, and it was all about, you know, go to college and get a bunch of degrees and, you know, you'll live a great life. And you always, I guess, at least in the metropolitan area, you seem to spend more than you make. You know, I was in a situation where, you know, I was standing on top of a 30-story building, looking back at my career. And I said, you know, I won a design award for a development site graduating college, which planted this seed for development, but I didn't know any better. So I went to work as a civil engineer. I couldn't pass the civil engineering exam.
Oh no!
After 4 years experience, it took me like four times to pass it. And by that time I was making so much money building skyscrapers in New York City, I never really became an engineer other than I got my license. It enabled me to open up doors for opportunities, but you know, it wasn't really the license or the master's degrees that necessarily enabled me to make money. It was really about working with people. It wasn't the technical aspect. It was the personal aspect and building the relationships. You know, and I look back at my career and I was like, wow, you've designed them. You've now built them. One of your master's degrees taught you how to finance them. You know, you have all these pieces of the puzzle. You should really, you know, put it all together. And what kept me up late at night was, you know, I knew about development fees. And I was like, wow, you know, I just built this $100 million project for Bruce Ratner, you know, the owner of the New Jersey Nets. They were getting ready to build their big, you know, headquarters there and stadium in Brooklyn. And here I'm building this for him. And I'm going, wow, you know, if I could just build a $10 million project for myself, you know, I could pay myself a 5% development fee. Plus, I'm a construction expert. I could build it, pay myself a CM fee, save the group, you know, 5 to 7% if they were going to hire a GC, hire its staff instead of somebody gouging us for 10% general conditions or overhead, maybe more, do it for 8%. And have this, you know, as the way that I get started. And that's what happened. You know, the first project I put in the pipeline was that 113-bed assisted living. And, you know, we never looked back. You know, we paid ourselves, you know, over $1.6 million on that one project. You know, I didn't have a lot of equity, so I took a smaller piece to get started. And then with that, you know, we just moved on to other projects. But that's kind of how it got started. So I came in like in a reverse angle, and I really didn't do residential until 20 years later, when I had done well in New York and we developed 52 townhomes at Keene University in New Jersey. And then that led to some residential stuff and ultimately with flipping New Jersey, fast forwarding to like 2016, where we did 137 deals. And then we wrote the book, The Modern Wealth Building Formula.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, there's just so much to that story and I just love it so much. So let me just see if I can understand this. So what were you doing for the Brooklyn Nets owner? Like, what was your role in that project?
Yeah. You know, when I graduated engineering, I started an engineering job in about 6 months. I was like, I cannot sit still. At night, I used to do construction claims work for an attorney. And I met a guy who, you know, basically said, come build a building in Poughkeepsie, New York. The next thing you know, I was 23 or 24 years old, moved to Poughkeepsie, New York, and I'm a super project manager on a 32-unit building coming out of the ground. And I built it through the winter. I learned about temporary heat and all this kind of good stuff. And I'm literally in the paper and I see a development on the waterfront in New Jersey, call up my girlfriend at the time and said, you know, I'm going to build some skyscrapers in New Jersey. And about 3 months later, I was working for the LEFRAC organization and I was a super building two 33-story buildings. And then eventually, make a long story short, I did a bunch of buildings. And when I went to New York City and built for Ratner, was a 35-story building where I was the general superintendent, where I earned my site safety license, which enabled me, I was qualified to basically build buildings of 100,000 square foot plus. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, not only did I super the job and supervise it, at the end of the day, when everybody went home, I would go in and learn project management. I eventually worked myself up in Bovis to an executive and then went and worked for some of the top developers before kind of breaking out in 1999 to open up my own company. So that's how it all worked.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, I mean, I just love the grit and tenacity that you clearly had in breaking out of your field and becoming the developer. Yeah, I mean, gosh, where to start? So what would you say was some of your biggest takeaways from that first project?
Yeah. You know what, my biggest takeaway, you know, going into it, because I realized after the fact how much I didn't know, was how beneficial it was to surround myself with people that, you know, knew more than me about areas that I didn't know. Like, because I was diving into development, you know, I didn't know planning. I wasn't an expert in environmental, you know, I knew, you know, a little bit of traffic, you know, from civil engineering, you know, and it really coined one of the phrases I use, you know, the dream team, you know, which I now build in other cities that I go to, even in Jersey, different parts of the states, we have different dream teams. But, you know, really the importance of building a dream team and, you know, how you can accomplish anything you put your mind to it. I mean, there was, you know, times where I'm like, you know, how am I going to pull this thing off? You know, I met this dentist. I didn't even know what a certificate in need was when he says, yeah, I have a certificate in need. I was like, what's that? He's like, well, I can build 113-bed assisted living. I was like, come on, we'll write an LOI on a piece of paper right now. I literally hand wrote and bought this site for $25,000 refundable deposit, controlled it, and 6 months later had approval for this, you know, project. And it was like a slam dunk. And not knowing how to finance my first time, you know, I found out how to do it through the New Jersey EDA, and I did a municipal bond deal. And I mean, I just took away like such a vast variety of information, like, wow, this development thing is like fascinating. Like, there's never one day that's the same. You know, you could be building one day, you could be writing a legal agreement, you could be doing a deck, you could be doing financing. And, you know, it really gave me the belief system that, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to, you know?
Yeah.
And it was the confidence that came out of that, that, you know, just enabled me, you know, on top of, you know, building skyscrapers to go, wow, I could do this myself. And it's really, you know, anybody could do it. Here's somebody who, yeah, I was very good at what someone showing me and practical applications, but the education portion, you know, I initially created the 6-year plan in undergraduate before I went on to get 2 master's degrees. So I was never, you know, the sharpest studier in the beginning. And, you know, you just develop skills and you hang out with people that you want to be like, you know, and that's how it works, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Very, very interesting. And so, I mean, if I got that story right, it sounds like you were working with a dentist who had a certificate of need and you were like, let's do it. And then you immediately wrote an LOI and that's how it started.
In 1997, when I was an executive for a big developer in New York City, I had just completed East 64th Street, 80th and 3rd for Bruce Eichner and a gentleman by the name of Trevor Davis. I formed the company by 99. It started out at a golf outing that I really couldn't even afford to play in. And my wife's mother-in-law, who didn't like to talk to me that much, said, hey, this country club's having a member, you know, recruit. You should go have a free round of golf. So I told my wife, here, I'm like, you know, in debt, didn't really know what to do. But I was like, you know, if I could ever join a country club, that'd be pretty cool because I can raise money. You know, I was just coming from small little town, didn't really know how to hang out with those kind of people. Sure enough, after that round, you know, after daydreaming, I went home and I had an executive special and I joined this country club. And the next thing you know, by the fourth round, I had someone had given me $100,000 based on a story that I said, you know what, you could be part of my company. I'm going to form a, you know, subsidiary of my parent company and get 10 people to, you know, pony up and give them first right of refusal on all my development deals. And next thing you know, I had $100,000 and I was like, honey, you know what? I think I'm going to quit my job. I got this taxation filtration system. I had to pay myself $5,000 a month. I'm going to stretch it out. She thought I was crazy. You know, and I left like $175,000 a year job to throw the dice, to live off $60,000 with this $100,000, went on to raise like another quick $100,000, paid myself $5,000 a month. By month three, took $25,000 of the $100,000, locked down the 12 acre. By month four, I was paying myself on a development agreement, $27,000 a month based on my first tranche on the structure that I put for the deal. So it was pretty cool. Like I went into business in that fashion, where I just put a deal together, signed it, raised money, started paying myself a development fee and put the financing together. And, you know, I know how to build. So I went out, I prefabbed all the components of the building, poured all the slabs, built all the walls, some in Pennsylvania, some in New Jersey. When that foundation was done, that stuff showed up. Boom, boom, boom. 3 weeks, floors were up, walls up. I was putting a roof on. It was crazy.
Wow.
You know, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, and I just want to circle back to something you mentioned was that when this actually all went down, when you went to that country club, you said, you mentioned you were in debt, right?
I was six figures in debt. I had to get approval from my wife to use the credit card to plunk down $5,000.
And was that from your student loans or what was that from?
It was student loans. You know, we had twins. So I was buying two of everything. My first house, the interest rate was 18%. And, you know, commuting to New York City was a small fortune between tolls. And, you know, I would take the train for a while, like, you know, a monthly ticket was like $233 back then, you know? So, I mean, just the expense, you know, when you drive your car, it was $50. So like you had to get connections, let you park on site behind the fence, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you learn to maneuver, you learn to survive.
Yeah.
You know, New York was a great place to do it in, you know?
Yeah. So then you must have bought your house like what, 1980 or something around, something like that?
It was actually 89, right after I got married. Yeah.
Okay. And rates were 18%. Wow. That is so, yeah, we're just in such a different time here. You know?
It's crazy.
Okay. Well, very cool. I mean, that's kind of an amazing story, Ken. Why do you think you were able to kind of like do so much and like make this deal happen? I mean, like, where did you get the tools to do that? The mindset tools, the knowledge, et cetera.
Yeah, great question. You know, and, you know, I had an earlier podcast today. I tried to spell it all out in what we call as the 11 millionaire secrets, you know, because it really came down to how I merged ecosystems, which is my word for networking on steroids, which, you know, it's more about vertical innovation instead of horizontal innovation. You know, things like how to wrap your package, how to present yourself, you know, my 5-5-5 thing where it's 5 more minutes, you're 5 degrees hotter, but, you know, you make 5 times the impression, you know, little things like that, the little secrets that differentiated myself, you know, enabled me to, you know, when I stepped into the residential market, people were like, you know, who is this guy? Because I, you know, I did a little like hot sheet, you know, like we would do on a major underwriting project and just do it for a little residential home. And people are like, yeah, I'll invest, you know? So it was a little bit, you know, different approach that I took. And I'm not quite sure, I may have diverted from the question. I have a tendency to do that sometimes. So just reel me back in, but I'll leave you with that.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I think that's so fascinating that you were able to kind of have the mindset to like make such a huge deal happen. I mean, I guess you were working construction, so you kind of knew how these things worked and had been around them and seen them, but it's just.
Yeah. Like what came through me now, because, you know, I lost my train of thought, you know, my real mindset started through sports, believe it or not. And as a young kid, you know, I remember like telling my dad, I want to try out for Little League. And I ended up like at 9 years old, hitting my first home run and winning like the Little League championship. And through the years, you know, I then played Pop Warner football and we won the championship, and then junior league, we won the championship. And by the time I got to high school, I was an all-state football player, and we won the state championship my junior and senior year. And I played college football for a couple of years. And what came through me was the transition was when I realized, hey, why am I struggling so much when I was an all-state football player and a really good athlete? And it was the shift where, like, hey, if I can apply the principles, like, hey, I knew every single play in the playbook. I only came off the field for one play. I snapped for field goals, snapped for punts. I called the signals, you know, as the center. I was the linebacker. I had 166 tackles my senior year. And I took those principles, I guess you call them gridiron principles, and what I learned from my coach and how we won championships, and started to apply it to my studying and my thinking. You know, and by the time I did get into the master's degree, you know, I graduated, you know, at the top of my class. And it was exciting, you know, to be able to grow. You know, my dad laughed at me. He's like, I don't know how you wrote a book. He goes, you used to hand me papers. You couldn't spell. They made no sense. He's like, what's wrong with you? But yeah, I mean, that drove me. And, you know, I've been a magician since I was 12 years old. So, you know, everything I do has a little touch of magic. You know, I've been doing, you know, shows of, you know, magic since I was real young, and just love performing. And it's just a hobby I have. It's like art. You know, people like to paint. I like to do magic. And I bring magic in into my real estate, you know, into my relationships. And it makes it fun, you know, a lot of fun.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, for sure. Really, really awesome. So I know, Ken, that you have, you know, you've done a lot since then, and you have some, a lot of stories to tell, which maybe we'll get to, but I want to hear about your modern wealth building formula. How did that come to be? And what is it?
Yeah, you know, great, great question, because it happened by happenstance. You know, I had all these thoughts in my head, you know, big ideas. And, you know, I had someone, I call him my plastic surgeon, but he was coming in to extract stuff out of my brain. In our conversation, you know, I'd always been into personal development. You know, I always suggest, you know, try to invest, you know, a portion of your revenue each year in yourself. It's just so, so important. And, you know, I was in the Landmark Worldwide for a while, you know, doing some transformational coaching. My wife and I had been in that conversation for many years. We had just taken a wisdom course. You know, Tony Robbins was one of my biggest fans. So you could always hear me saying, you know, let, you know, massive action. You got to have wisdom behind it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's leadership, but, you know, I had this thing, bold leadership, and, you know, and then there was forward thinking, and I was mentioning these things, and, you know, this acronym came out. I'm like, you know, can we do anything with MWBF? One of the guys from my group was like, modern wealth building formula. I was like, that's it, you know? And it was kind of crazy because, you know, as I wrote it, I'm like, okay, you know, the massive action plus the wisdom plus the bold leadership plus the forward thinking will equal this. But after I wrote the book, I'm like, you know, it's actually a multiplier in between each of the three. But, you know, when we started to say, like, what is it? How do I articulate it? I started to realize that, you know, over the years, I had created what I called was my 3F system, which was how I found finding, how I funded, and how I facilitated real estate. And, you know, when I found my first deal, you heard me say I was talking to a dentist, but that dentist was introduced to me by a civil engineer who I met through an architect because, you know, I came out of this construction world of bidder list and design professionals. And I only knew that kind of language. So I was calling architects and engineers, hey, anything coming out of the pipeline, anything on the drawing board? It was a different approach. And, you know, like how I started to find real estate deals, it was like reverse engineering. Like I would call for deals in the old classified paper and knowing I couldn't do the deal, but I would create a relationship with that person and ultimately maybe get something from them. So, you know, I found deals differently and I presented myself differently. That's where I came up with, you know, the wrap your package thing.
Yeah.
You know, my first funding out of the box was, you know, very unusual because I, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, but I created three tranches. I raised 400, 400, and then like six or 700 to close with the New Jersey EDA. And, you know, I put all these procedures and that initial funding was scrutinized and knew that it was going to be audited at the end. So I learned how to like keep like really tight notes. And they came into my office. There was a wall of binders. You know, the auditors went through it, passed with flying colors. And by the time that development ended, I had like a facilitation process that showed you, you know, how to put the budget together, how to do all the feasibility studies, do your due diligence, how to analyze, put the whole buyout, write all the scope of works, how to do your procurement log, how to schedule it. And I was like, I'm on to something, you know, and I executed it. Really didn't, you know, like I said, I was figuring so much stuff out. I wasn't even realizing I was kind of putting this system together. So, you know, then I kind of said, wow, the modern wealth building formula kind of blankets everything I did, because my first course that I created was eight figure deals with no money down, which was the story, how I built the $17 million project. Then I said to myself, it's really real estate development made simple. And it's so sophisticated. I have to break it down, right? So I'm like, I got to create a residential program and a commercial program. So for years I had these little things, but then when I finally nailed it down, I created Financial Freedom Protocol, which was kind of the foundation, which is my residential now program, the foundation, you know, for people to use to create their financial freedom protocol. And then the modern wealth building formula is kind of, I'd say, the middle package, which covers, you know, you can expand and scale your residential business, you know, because wholesaling, you know, you say you don't need money. If you want to scale it and do 137 deals in 1 year, you need money, you know, and then you, you know, you facilitate such and such, but, you know, it just blanketed it. And it was for commercial, it worked for development, it worked for residential, et cetera. And then the real estate development made simple was for the really sophisticated. And there I gave it all away, $100,000 in assets. And through that, and then studying with students, we learned the runway for success. And we just recently, we created the Global Real Estate Investment Enterprise, which is a lifetime program where it's like, I joke with people, since I'm from New York, it's like the mafia. Once you get in, you don't get out. It's a lifetime program and we make you succeed. But you know, that's how I'm paying it forward these days.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, wait. So the modern wealth building formula, is that, that's your book, right? And is it also like, what do you teach in that book exactly?
Yeah, this book, you know, basically talks to you about that whole find, fund, and facilitate system.
Is it, and it's about development specifically?
It's about all types of real estate. So this will teach you how to get started in residential, commercial, or development. You know, there's a, and it's a lot related to sports. So there's a pre-game routine, how to get started, how to set the stage. You find out where you're at, where you are in the lineup, right?
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't the cleanup hitter when I first started, you know, but you know, I wasn't the starting linebacker, you know, so you get on the team and you build yourself into the lineup. And that's how it kind of tells you how to do it. It talks about how real estate for me was like an ice cream store. You know, you go in, there's 35 different flavors. You got to narrow it down to the three favorite, and then you figure out which one you really like the best, you know. And then there's a chapter in there on fee gold, you know, because I told you there's nine different ways to earn fees, right? And that's what kept me up late at night. And, you know, don't leave money on the table if you don't have to, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Very interesting. Well, it's clearly so many amazing, interesting concepts. So would you say, what would you say your favorite flavor is of real estate?
Yeah, you know, it's expanded. You know, I like the development aspect because the multi-use to me makes it attractive. You know, on some of the deals I'm doing now, you know, I'm doing my first CVS pharmacy. We have a 100-year-old historic restaurant, affordable housing, market rate housing, office. On another project I'm doing, I have a wellness center with a helipad, hotel, basically drive-through, retail, self-storage, flex office, townhomes, vertical.
You do it all, Ken. You do it all.
And so I like the multi-use.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess if you were to ask me what my favorite is, you know, I have over 1,500 residential units under my belt. So, you know, I'd have to say that residential is probably the best. You know, some of the projects I did.
So are those single family homes that you developed?
Well, I'm talking about like the skyscrapers I did. Like I did 1055 Park Avenue, which was on Millionaire's Listing. Mm-hmm. 240 Park Avenue, Tom Brady and Giselle came to look at the penthouse. Uh-huh. West 29th Street, East 64th Street, 80th and 3rd, you know, on the New Jersey waterfront for LEFRAC.
So you were the developer of all those?
A builder, developer on a couple of them, you know. Okay. So, yeah, so yeah. 240 Park was mine, 1055, and those two were mine in New York City.
The luxury high-rises, basically.
Luxury high-rises, yeah.
Okay, very cool. That's so interesting. Okay, I want to ask you about something that, you know, I know you mentioned in your bio, which is like, I mean, something that, like, what happened in 2001 when the World Trade Center got hit, but the towers got hit? Like, I know you were in the middle of a deal. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So we made all that money that I told you about on the assisted living, and we bought a waterfront in Staten Island. It was a gated community, and we were prepared to start the development on 100 units. You literally rolled out of bed, walked down the promenade, jumped on the ferry, and drove towards the World Trade Center to go to work downtown on Wall Street. And I was celebrating the deal. I was with Tony Robbins in Hawaii on 911. And, mm-hmm. you know, my friend went to work every day for Cantor Fitzgerald at 7. And I watched the towers collapse that day.
Did your friend?
No, he was there. Believe it or not, they found some paper from his wallet. I don't know how, but yeah, he perished. And New York just blew up.
I'm so sorry.
And we lost Bay Street Landing, you know, and I had $500,000 in it. You know, projects went a little haywire, and, you know, it was questionable at that time. We didn't know what to do, but, you know, it built character, and, you know, we came out of it, fortunately, because of our construction experience, and, you know, and regained traction, and, you know, we're back in the game, you know, a couple years thereafter, but, you know, it was tough, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, like, when something like that happens, I mean, that's like the thing about development, right, is that it's a bit precarious, I suppose. So, like, can you just tell me what happened with that property?
Yeah, that property went on to be developed, you know, down the road. You know, we ended up where we couldn't close, you know, so I had invested a lot of money in design development, et cetera, you know, but what happened at that time, everybody just stopped investing, right? I couldn't raise a nickel and, you know, there was nowhere to go, you know,
totally.
And, you know, and I was stuck and, you know, I just did a lot of praying back then, you know, but, you know, I was fortunate I did because of that assisted living experience that I gained. I co-developed /CM, you know, I had a little piece of the action, a geriatrics facility that kept me busy for like 14 months to get my feet back on the ground. And then we went into this transit village development and, you know, initially getting started, I had to kind of go back and forth because, you know, during the development and the entitlement, there isn't a lot going on and you can only pay yourself so much. You can only squeeze so much, you know, blood out of a stone, you know, and if there's not a lot to pay yourself a fee, you got to, you know, have some other revenues coming in. So it was a challenging time, but it built, I would say, character and the shoulders I needed for 2008 when I was partners with Lehman Brothers and we lost $300 million in one day.
Oh, man.
And that's when I wanted to, like, you know, c'est la vie. I was like, it was crazy.
Wow. That's another crazy story. Oh, my gosh. I mean,
yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dropped to my knees that day and I developed 240 Park Avenue. We made like $50 million. We bought the toy building. We bought a whole city block on 6th Avenue. We bought St. Vincent's Hospital. And we had mezzanine loans on all of them with Lehman Brothers. Like, disappeared in one day. And, you know, I literally was trying to buy Stewart's Root Beer after that and go into car simonizing because I didn't, you know, 500 projects stopped in New York City in the metropolitan area. And everything was upside down.
Yeah.
And it took me a couple of years to come back. I started with a brownstone in Brooklyn. And that led into me actually taking $250,000 a year job, which led to a partnership where I created Tower Concrete. And I poured 4 30-story towers in New York City and then decided to open up Flippin' NJ and close the concrete company down and say, you know, I've done enough. I'm going to go prove this out on residential because I had never really proved it out for wholesaling and fixing and flipping. And I joined a company, put all these systems in place, went in, went out. 2 years later, started writing the book and kind of created Global Real Estate Strategies. And that's what we're doing today. You know, everything's Global Real Estate Strategies, Global Real Estate Investment Enterprise, Modern Wealth Building Formula, and just helping people succeed in real estate, you know, because it's not hard. But if you have value for your time, you know, you join the enterprise. I contribute 125,000 hours. We have over 50 high-level students that contribute relationship equity. So, you know, you instantly have just tremendous value. It's brilliant.
Very, very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ken, for just sharing, you know, so much about, you know, just your life in real estate, just an amazing career and experiences. Very fascinating. Will you please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Sure. Check out, you know, my website, kenvanloo.com. And, you know, if you want to get started with some free value, go to 11millionairesecrets.com. You know, you'll hear me shoot some videos on the secrets and how I see it. And then, you know, you'd have an opportunity if you want to talk to me direct. I'm not in the sales business. I don't upsell you. You know, I listen and, you know, for and reliably deliver what's important for you and what you care about. And I will definitely leave you with power, freedom, self-expression, and peace of mind. So that's my game plan.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Ken, for coming on the show. Please check out, listeners, his Ken's, you know, wealth of information and content that he has. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time, Ken.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.